Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
There's a proposal for some local government to spend some big money on convincing people to get vaccines for COVID-19. Talking about St. Louis County, I'm Mike Ferguson. It is 2:09. Obviously, I'm in for Annie Fry because she's going to be gone for a while because she's. We don't have a baby update yet, do we?
We have not heard anything.
Okay. So,
but today's the day.
Today is supposed to be the day.
We should have a baby by today.
Yeah. So follow Annie on social
media.
We
as in the show, I guess.
That's right. So, yeah, you'll be the work uncle, you know, for this, exactly.
I'll be the weird work uncle.
Follow Annie on social media. You are probably going to get a baby announcement as soon as she is coherent enough after the birth of a baby to do so. That's where you'll get it first.
Yeah.
And, by the way, if you wanted to hear anything we talked about a little bit earlier. Yeah, that's, I got to tell you, I'm still looking around social media and people are, like, really stoked about the fact that Wrestling of the Chase is coming back. If you want to hear that conversation with Ed Wheatley, just go to the Odyssey app or just do the Odyssey Rewind, and you can check that out again. Okay, so St. Louis County is taking a lot of money from the federal government, and right now you've got government and politicians all over the country who are looking and searching for ways to spend billions of dollars that the government just gave it to them and said, do something related to COVID-19. And they're trying to come up with ways to do it. If that doesn't tell you this is some ridiculously wasteful spending, you know, here's the money, find something to do with it. Well, one of the ideas in St. Louis County is gift cards to encourage people to get your COVID shots.
Yeah, St. Louis County Councilwoman Shalonda Webb has proposed giving up to $100 in gift cards to buy groceries, $50 for gas, that kind of stuff, just to get your COVID shot. I keep looking at this article. It's from the Post-Dispatch, and there's other reports, too, about this. What I don't know is, does this apply to everybody who's had a shot?
Right. Do I get a card?
Or is this only an incentive? Because to me, what this is doing, if it's an incentive for people who haven't gotten the shot yet, is to wait it out. Well, because the stakes keep getting higher. There's more and more spending on to get people who haven't to get the shot. So it's incentive to wait and wait and wait and see what the best offer is.
And by the way, I'm not even going to blame her for coming up with the idea to give out the money. The federal government said, find a way to spend it. You know, here's the money, do something with it, which is one of the, if you tried to budget for a business like that or a nonprofit group like that, you'd go under pretty fast. So they have a mandate to find some creative way to spend this money.
Listen to these numbers, too. And what drives me crazy is that they spend this money and they say, well, this is basically free money to us. Yeah, I guess it is to you, the councilwoman.
Yeah.
It's not coming out of your budget, but this is coming from taxpayers because it's federal money.
Yeah.
So,
and it's borrowed at that. So we're going to be spending, paying this back and the interest over generations.
Good luck with your $50 gift card that you got to pay $50 in interest on in taxes.
Thank you, great-grandchildren.
Thank you. $875,000 in federal funds to pay for these gift cards.
Just in St. Louis County.
Just in St. Louis County, the overall dollar package that the American Rescue Plan Act has given, $193 million package that this is coming out of. $875,000 in gift cards for people to get the vaccine. I think you can tell by the tone of my voice what I think of this.
Yes.
But, I mean, some of them are funny. Like the one with the joints that they're giving out.
Washington State is somebody went to the state and said, hey, we want to offer incentives. Marijuana is legal there. And they said, can we give away joints if people get the vaccine? And the state of Washington went, yeah, sure, dude, whatever. And so they call it the Joints for Jabs program. And so state officials announced this week that they will permit marijuana retail shops to give away a single pre-rolled joint to anybody over 21 who gets a shot at an on-site vaccination clinic. So you can literally go get your COVID shot in the marijuana dispensary and get a free joint if you decide to do that.
That's so, just strange.
There you go.
I mean, that's it's funny, but it's just strange. Like, is there that big of a constituency who's like way against vaccinations, yeah, but really for marijuana so much that they're like, man, I got to take that free joint.
I know, man. I need to.
They're so high that they just realize there's a vaccine out there.
They just figured it out.
Hey.
I don't know that marijuana would be the culprit in that case, but thanks for trying.
Right. And in this case here, St. Louis County, would you say $875,000?
$875,000 in gift cards. If you don't have a vaccine, see, I keep looking into this and I keep thinking there's no way that this can be for people. It's just like every other government program.
Right.
If you get it at the right time, you're the beneficiary of it. Like the student loan thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same type of deal. Like if you happen to have student loans right now when
right.
they decide, they're not going to, I don't think this is going to happen.
I don't think they will either.
But if you happen to have them right now, well, great. Yeah, I'd love to have my student loan paid
great,
off. I
great
think it's
for my
stupid
daughter.
The way
yeah.
that it's happening. But you get lucky. If my wife happened to go back and get her master's right now, would she suddenly just get, oh, we just get it for free because she just went into debt? Like, that's so stupid.
Do I get repaid? I paid off my student loans years ago. Do I get a refund?
I think this whole thing is the same as that, where, well, you did your job already. Thank you. We're going to reward people who didn't do what we wanted.
Right.
Which in this case, the vaccine, it's not, so many of these government programs, they're rewarding bad behavior. In this sense, I think they're deeming this bad behavior, like you didn't do your civic duty.
Mm-hmm.
However, as you and I have talked about many times, if you have the antibodies,
right.
There was just a huge study. I mean, we're veering off course here from this topic, but there was a huge study from the Cleveland Clinic, like respected clinic,
mm-hmm.
52,000 employees, and I think they were all employees of the medical industry, that they tested to see who has longer lasting and better antibodies, people who had the vaccine or people who had the disease. And no, it was if you had the disease, are you better off if you get the vaccine in addition to having the antibodies from having COVID?
Right.
And the answer was no.
Yeah.
52,000 people they studied. The answer is no. If you had it, you have the same level of immunity as if you got the vaccine.
And current studies are now indicating that those antibodies could be lasting 2 years or more.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah, but everybody hears the low end number, and somebody somewhere said, well, it could last a minimum of 3 months.
Right.
So everybody in the world goes, well, you're only protected for 3 months. That's it. Well, no, that's not true.
No.
You could, I guess, on the very, very low end, be fully protected for a minimum of 3 months.
I actually spoke with one of the former directors at the Cleveland Clinic, clinical pathologist who has been an advisor to the FDA and the CDC back when the CDC still had credibility. And he said natural immunity, his words, not mine, because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a pathologist, but this guy is. He says natural immunity is always better than vaccinated immunity, although vaccinated immunity is not a bad thing. He says, but his argument was, when I was talking to him, he said, we're discounting natural immunity. Now, he also had COVID. He went through it, and he still got the vaccine. He's a big believer in the vaccine and
well,
just sings the praises of Trump's Operation Warp Speed, and that's great. But he's frustrated, and I think I am too, the more I read about this, as to the misinformation. You hear only this percentage of people have been vaccinated. Well, okay, but pile on those of us who've already had it. Now, I got the vaccine after having it, so if it didn't do me any good, I guess we'll find out in time if it hurt me. I'm still waiting for my better phone reception that some of the conspiracy theorists were promising me that I was going to get now, but still haven't got that. I want that.
You are a 5G tower, sir.
I want to be. I'd take a shot for that.
The numbers continue to go down. I mean, I think the last time we were going to talk to Dr. Hardiman was Monday, and he even said, look, I mean, the term herd immunity has just sort of fallen out of fashion
mm-hmm.
for some reason in the medical community. It's so weird how these things happen. Like, there shouldn't be fashion in
yeah.
the medical community.
Yeah.
Like, it either is a thing or it's not a
right.
thing. But it does look like, let me see, I'm looking at deaths right now, and it's we're at like a low below where we were in March of 2020 at this point. New cases, we're back to where we were in, early March of 2020.
Right.
So at this point, you could almost say that it's over in a sense that it could just... We may be living with COVID for a long time.
I mean, it's almost like it ran its course the way that we knew from the beginning that every new thing is going to do. It's run its course. I mean, I've been telling people, I understand COVID is still out there. And you're right, Ryan. I think that we will have some form of COVID. There may very well be a COVID season every year, like there's a flu season. I don't know. But I can tell you, when you look at just the actual numbers, the actual data, you look at the way society's moved on, the pandemic, for all intents and purposes, is over. I think we should act like it.
Yeah. Does it bother? Did you get the vaccine because of the social benefit to doing so?
No.
You did it medically.
I didn't. I talked with this pathologist. He's the one that kind of convinced me, because my thinking was, I've got the antibodies. What, you know, his argument is he thinks that it will extend some immunity. And
you might not need a booster shot in a
maybe
year.
Not. Yeah, who knows?
Well, you got COVID really bad, though.
I had it really bad.
So you
bad.
Had to consider that.
Right.
And I did not.
Right.
I got it and barely noticed.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the data says, as according to, again, Dr. Hardiman, he says you're not going to get it worse than you got it last time. If anything, you probably won't get it at all.
And this pathologist, Dr. Roger Klein, said exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
He said, Mike, he said, if you ever get it again, it's not going to be anywhere near it was before, because I had a pretty extreme case of it. You know,
you did. You were in the hospital.
It sucked.
Yeah.
I was in the ICU.
And you were in the ICU before they really knew how to treat it or anything, which
I was one
is
of the,
another thing. We've gotten better treating it.
I was one of the first people who got hydroxychloroquine.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because they
did it work?
I felt better.
You're alive.
Within 36 hours, I started seeing feeling a difference.
Wow.
Now, whether that's correlation or causation, I don't know. But I can tell you that I started to remarkably feel better within 2 days, with really just over 1 day.
Add that one to the list of things that you see anecdotally and even some, you know, scientific studies on hydroxychloroquine, especially internationally, where it's not the Trump factor playing into it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is this was before it became it was becoming a Trump factor thing.
Well, he hadn't said that yet when you got it, though.
Well, yeah, and then I looked at the TV, because I didn't watch really any TV at all when I was in the hospital that much.
You were in a fog.
I only remember about half the stay, to be real honest. And then when I finally started feeling better and I turned it on, and one of the first things I see is Gretchen Whitmer up in Michigan signing executive orders to ban doctors from using hydroxychloroquine. And I'm thinking, what the hell?
Unbelievable.
As I watched some of the news, which was stupid on my part, I'm here going, while I was out of commission, this whole thing became political.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't become about COVID. This became about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And it just infuriated me.
I guarantee you that there are studies out there that I've seen some. They just don't get any attention.
Right.
Because they kind of get buried because it's still associated with Trump.
Yeah.
And we're getting to the point now where I think maybe we're getting past some of that stuff. You've seen a lot of news stories recently that, you know, or institutional organizations are coming out and saying, like recently, we didn't actually clear the park so that Trump could have a photo op with a Bible.
Right.
Well, it's been a year, so maybe some of that's cooling off a little bit. So you hope that if hydroxychloroquine is a good treatment, or remdesivir, all the other ones, if they are, that medical knowledge would take over instead of the politics of it.
I'd like science to be really boring unless there's a new discovery that's exciting for a minute. But
yeah.
I mean, I want my eyes to glaze over when they describe it to me. That's when I think I've got solid science that I can be confident in and that sort of thing. But yeah, with this right here, and they're saying they want more people vaccinated. Okay, great. There's always a PSA campaign when the flu season comes around. Wash your hands. Flu shots are available. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Let's keep doing that.
It seems like we've arbitrarily landed, though, on 70%. Well, we want to have 70% vaccination. Well, why? Because originally Dr. Fauci was saying, well, I was hoping for 85%. That would be the point.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that 70 would probably be easier.
If you're disagreeing with him, you're disagreeing with science, right?
Apparently you are. Yeah, he's wearing the cape of science, so you can't criticize him. Yeah, he is science.
He is science.
He is science. All right, let's talk about something a little more fun as we listen to...
No, because the Cardinals are not doing very well.
Okay. Well, I was going to say baseball in general. Of course, this is a great Sammy Hagar song. We got some bump music here. This is the Eagles Fly song.
It is. Yes. From the I Never Said Goodbye.
That's right.
Solo album between the Van Halen albums.
Absolutely. Which was named by a fan. They had a contest to name
MTV.
The album.
MTV.
Okay, so Kevin Wheeler from KMOX joining us just ahead here.
Like a cat looking at a little laser pointer.
Well, Carl, you are the laser pointer,
yeah,
so.
Exactly. Major League Baseball wanting to crack down on the way pitchers do the game and substances. Can this affect
sticky
the
stuff.
Game? Sticky stuff. I want to know what Kevin knows about this. That's just ahead right here on the Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's talk a little business of baseball here.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball.
There's no crying in baseball!
Cardinals, Blues, and more with sports reporter Kevin Wheeler.
Hey, Cardinals won yesterday, so everything's fixed. We're moving in the right direction now, right? I'm Mike Ferguson in for Annie Fry. Also, Major League Baseball saying, hey, we're looking at what they call it, sticky substances
sticky
is the term.
Stuff. They just,
sticky stuff on baseballs and whatever
Sports
else.
Sports Illustrated
got Kevin,
cover story.
Kevin Wheeler from KMOX. And let's start with a pretty good showing last night. I don't think that O'Neill home run's actually landed yet. But Cardinals look great tonight. At what point do we say, okay, it's stabilizing a little bit?
Great question. I would say probably at least another couple of weeks, right? I mean, we still have to see how the matchups go this weekend in Chicago. And, you know, we know there's no Jack Flaherty or Kwon Young Kim or Miles Michaelis. So when on the days that Adam Wainwright's not pitching, things are I don't want to say dicey, but they're definitely unknown, right? They're definitely some wild card factors involved when it's not Waino's day. But yesterday was Waino's day, which is part of the reason why it went so well.
You know, Kevin, we've talked to you over the last couple months, and you keep saying basically you're right in line. The Cardinals are right in line with where you and we expected them to be, you know, 90-win team-ish, and they're above 500 right now. Is the rest of the NL Central a surprise to you at all? Are the Cardinals landing where they should, but are other teams landing where they shouldn't?
Well, the Cardinals have been on that pace. Now, in the last handful of days, they've fallen off of that just a little bit. But, you know, you're like a two- or three-game winning streak away from being back on a 90-win pace, which is, again, kind of what we expected. The Brewers are about what was expected, probably not the way that people thought they would do it. I mean, you know, they've had some interesting injuries and some things that they've had to overcome, but, you know, they've found a way to get hot here lately. I think that the biggest surprise, and it might even be a surprise to the front office and ownership with the Cubs, is that the Cubs are playing so well. And, you know, it's funny, they spent their offseason getting rid of Yu Darvish and really not adding any big time players, and yet they're playing pretty well, in part because a lot of guys that have been down for them in recent years are kind of back to where they were before.
With the injuries you just mentioned, Kevin, with on the Cardinals, especially pitching being hurt right now, is this – at what point do the Cardinals say we've got to make a drastic decision? You never want to panic, but at some point you say, hey, you know, we're not to the All-Star break, but, you know, time is ticking. The season is moving along. And if we've got guys who are hurt, we've got to make some kind of move. Or do they just kind of wait it out until they get the guys back?
Well, based on what John Mozeliak has said, it's more the former than the latter. They're searching and they're looking actively at potential help, right? I mean, they have a lot of good young pitchers, but some of them haven't shown that they're ready to compete on a division-winning caliber team. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, like, Johan Oviedo is pitching tomorrow, and he's one of those guys that's just super talented. He's young, but, you know, he's a big dude that throws, you know, he's got one of the better fastballs in the National League. I mean, his fastball velocity is probably in the top 15-20% in Major League Baseball. I mean, he's got legitimate stuff, but command's not quite there. And that's a big deal when it comes to competing at the Major League level. It sounds like Mo is searching, but I also think people should tamper expectations. I mean, or tamp down, I should say, expectations, because they're not going to make a move just to do it. They're not going to pay too high of a price just to get help right now. I mean, they're looking for it, but it might take a while. I don't know that there's something right around the corner in terms of somebody that people will recognize and that will make a really big difference in the rotation right away.
Hey, what about the Major League Baseball now taking a close eye at, you know, the stuff pitchers have on their fingers? They're looking at what's on their hats, and now they're going to investigate sticky substances. There's always been something from the beginning of baseball. Somebody's trying to get a hand up, and, you know, whether it's pine tar or whatever else they're doing, what is it that they're actually looking for right now?
Well, right now they're looking for people that are applying any kind of substances to the ball in the middle of the game, right? I mean, nothing is allowed, right? According to the baseball rules, you're not allowed to put anything on your hands or anything on the baseball when you're on the mound. I mean, technically, you're not supposed to do it when you're in the field either, but fielders do the same thing too. A lot of them have a little pine tar in their glove or somewhere on their body so that they can keep their fingers, you know, in a position where if they have to make a quick throw or whatever, the ball's not going to be slipping out of their hand. But I don't think anybody's all that concerned about infielders doing that or whatever. I think the concern is with pitching. And the problem is it's kind of created super pitchers, guys that can throw really hard with a high spin rate. And all that really means, you know, I think to kind of make it simple, the spin rate on a fastball simply means that it won't decelerate as quickly, right? I mean, as soon as you let go of a baseball, it starts to slow down. Now, what they're doing with the higher spin rate is they're keeping the velocity longer. So you can have two guys that throw the exact same velocity out of the hand, two guys that throw 100. One guy's fastball, if it's got low spin rate, might look like 94 to the hitter when it gets to the plate, and the guy with the high spin rate looks like 98 when it gets to the plate. I mean, that's how important those kind of things are. And it also makes breaking balls break more. It allows you to throw it harder and have that break come later in the process, which is really tough for hitters, because if you can't tell the difference between a slider and a fastball until it's 15 feet from you, it's too late. You're done. You know, you wonder why sometimes you see guys swinging at these awful pitches. It's because at 45 feet, they look exactly like a fastball down the middle. And then the last few feet, you know, last 15, 20 feet, is when all that breaking comes, when all the movement comes, when the ball slows down more. So you got to get a handle around it. And the biggest mystery, guys, is why did Major League Baseball ever let it get to this? I mean, people have been talking about this for years. You know, Major League players went out on the record on this in 2018, and it's been going on a lot longer than that. I don't understand how a league just chooses not to enforce rules that can impact the play of the game.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Kevin Wheeler, is why are they focusing on it now? You may not have the answer to that question, but obviously it's been an issue for a long time. We talked to you a couple weeks ago about Mike Schilt, you know, kind of having his rant, his day, and saying this is wrong. And he was more complaining about unequal enforcement of these things. But is it because of people like him maybe bringing it up? Or do you think it's because of the pitching being so dominant that they're saying, we've finally got to crack down on this just for the sake of the game to get more hitting going?
Yeah, it's a little bit of all of it, right? I mean, it's a manager speaking up. It's some players starting to speak up. But it's also what you're seeing on the field every day. I mean, what we're seeing is an increasing number of strikeouts every year for the last 15 years. And, you know, one of the things that Major League Baseball wants is to try to create more action. Well, you're not getting it, and it's actually getting worse. And this is a part of it. Now, I've mentioned this a couple of different times in recent weeks that, you know, part of getting a handle on what changes Major League Baseball needs to consider has to come after they figure out a way to slow this down. Because if you can find a way to rein this in, you might find out you don't need dramatic change, that you only need minor change. But if you go, you know, kind of half-cocked and you make a bunch of big changes now, and then you realize, oh crap, it was just really the sticky stuff that made it worse, you can then have bigger problems as unintended consequences.
Yeah, exactly. And Kevin, I mean, that I'm glad you brought that up, because I know this is kind of a debate that's fun for us baseball geeks out there. One of my teammates on one of my teams yesterday. We were talking about this, to where it seems like they're throwing so many potential rule changes. It's like a tsunami of, you know, rule changes that the commissioner wants to consider. They're going to try them in minor league things instead of looking at nibbling around the edges. I mean, is it possible that we're just kind of in an era of dominant pitching, and then at some point we're going to get into an era of power hitters again, or an era of something else? I mean, baseball's been around a long time. It it just ebbs and flows, and things adjust from time to time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've seen that throughout the course of the game, right? I mean, you can go back to the 1920s when Babe Ruth and the Yankees made home runs cool. And then, you know, there was a power surge for a while. And then there was a pitching era. And then there was a power surge. And then there was a pitching era. Like, right. We see this all the time. The problem now, though, is that the competition in the sports arena is so high, you can't afford to stink for years waiting for it to happen. You know, you can't afford to go 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years with an inferior product when you've got all of the different types of entertainment that your average person has available to them right now, right? I mean, you know, we go back to whatever other era. There wasn't Netflix and streaming and YouTubing and everything else that can take the attention away from any particular thing. I mean, we've seen regular television shows, right, suffer the heat from this. I mean, TV ratings are not what they used to be, and they're never going to be because, you know, there's so many things that are available on demand and streaming and, you know, in subscription services that can give you what you want when you want it, as opposed to tuning in at a specific time on a specific day. And sports are the only thing that really still have the appointment viewing in real time. And they don't want to lose that value. I mean, the TV deals are dependent upon that value. So, you know, I do think they need to act, but I also think it's got to be careful, right? And I think the simplest way to do this, I'll use hockey as an analogy, because they did this in the NHL, it's coming out of the last lockout. So it's probably going back 15 years. But they had a problem with style of play for a long time in the NHL, where defensive players were hooking and holding and clutching and grabbing in the corners, and it slowed the game down. And they had neutral zone locks, and they had all these different things that slowed the game down. And they wanted to speed it back up and create offense. Well, the first thing they did was they just started enforcing their own rules. They started calling hooking. They started calling holding. And it was ugly at first. But eventually the players adapted, and that was part of making the game more open and exciting, which is what you have now. And we've seen this in the NFL. We've seen it in the NBA. And, you know, look, we've seen it in baseball in previous generations. In the 1960s, and we know the end of the 60s and what Bob Gibson did in 1968, changed the viewpoint of Major League Baseball. They went for more offense because offense sells better.
What would they do if it wasn't the sticky stuff? I mean, would they lower the mound again? What are they talking about doing to add offense?
Moving it back.
They're expanding all kinds of things. Yeah, you're right, Mike. They're looking at moving the mound back. They're experimenting with that in an independent minor league season. They are going with a pitch clock, like strict pitch clocks in some of the affiliated minor league seasons. They're trying to encourage more base stealing with some of these things. They're limiting the number of pickoff throws that guys can make to first base, trying to encourage steals. They're talking about changing the rules about picking off so that the pitcher would actually have to actively step off the rubber before making a pickoff throw, which is not the case now, which would lead to bigger leadoffs and perhaps more action on the bases. And I'm down for that. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, to me, the absence of the stolen base is just a tragedy. I mean, like it's so much fun, and it also impacts a lot of other things. If stolen bases were a bigger deal, it's going to limit how much teams can shift. It's just going to. If teams are incentivized to try to steal second and third base, people got to stay closer to home, which can lead to more balls that are currently now hit into a shift getting through. And by the way, that's another thing they're looking at, is the limiting of shifts in a couple of different ways too.
Of course, batters could learn to bunt as well. The third base
side. They could. I mean, you know, but nobody gets paid for bunt hits, right? I mean, the guys that get paid $25, $30 million a year are the home run hitters. And it's really hard to sell guys and say, hey, listen, it's probably going to cost you money, but we need you to hit more singles the other way and bunt. And they're going to be like, but you pay me more when I hit home runs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I just, as a baseball guy, I look at all of these experiments they want to do with the rules and literally changing the structure of the game and the dimensions, and I absolutely hate it. I guess I'm just enough of an old school aficionado that I can't stand it, you know, especially when the baseball comes in and says, okay, we want this this type of player or this type of team to get an advantage, and we want to disadvantage another site, instead of saying, okay, how do we just, you know, make the game, you know, as a whole more competitive or whatever the case is, instead of saying we want more of this particular thing, because 2 or 3 years from now, we don't know what the result of that's going to be.
Right, and that's always the thing you got to be careful with, which is why, kind of rounding it back to the illegal substances that pitchers are using, which is why you got to figure out that thing first,
yeah,
so that you avoid making any other changes that might be too dramatic. If you alter this now, you've got 3.5 months to see how it impacts the game. If you can cut this stuff off, yeah, you might realize at the end of this year, we don't need any dramatic changes. Maybe a couple of minor ones. Maybe we do play around with, you know, making pitchers step off the rubber to pick off, and maybe that's enough. Maybe we don't have to move the mound, and we don't have to limit shifting or any of those things. And, you know, but you don't know that until you get a handle around this and enforce the rules you have right now.
See, I think a good pickoff is a really exciting thing as well. So I hope they don't mess with that personally, because that's a highlight right there. You're going to see that on highlight reels a lot. All right, Kevin. Kevin Wheeler from KMOX. Man, appreciate the insight. I think I'd make a great baseball commissioner, so put in a good word for me.
I'll call Rob Manfred and tell him you're coming for his job.
I would love his job, and just to get him out of office on there. All right, Kevin, good talk to you again, man.
All right, I'll see you guys.
And I say if you do a bat flip, I still say that the next time you're up, you get one in the ribs.
Shouldn't you be encouraging more flamboyant reactions to everything if you
like
want to
wrestling
the sport? Yeah, people would watch the sport and be talking about the sport more if people, you know, people were doing cartwheels out of the batter's box.
They already woo with the games.
I don't. I hope not.
You're a purist. I am too.
I am
actually
a purist,
I don't like
yeah.
it either, but it would add dramatics more, and you'd add viewers if you did more ridiculous stuff.
Agreed.
I don't know. The NBA's ratings are way, way down, and they've been encouraging that for years.
You're right.
Yeah. All right. Still ahead here. Hey, you got a boat? Want to be part of a world record? I'm going to tell you how to do it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Lake the Ozarks are going to try to set a world record this weekend. Either you guys have a boat?
I do not.
You have a
no boat?
Boat. Okay, well, if you did, you could be part of it.
Do love the lake.
I absolutely love the lake. Yeah, so what they want to do is set a record for the world's largest boat parade. And so here's the deal. So you've got a little under 24 hours if you want to be involved in this. Going to cost you $50, but if you register by noon tomorrow, you can be a part of the world's biggest boat parade. and they're looking for 1,181 boats. And what they're going to do is they're just going to start, start on, I guess this is Saturday that they're actually doing this. Start at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and they're going to go from mile marker 19, that's over there by Dog Days Bar and Grill, all the way up to the 26-mile marker, which is by Margaritaville.
I don't know any of those locations.
Oh, okay, just right. Yeah, that's Margaritaville's pretty big. You can't miss that.
Okay.
If you're out there. So they're going to do this 5-mile boat parade with they're hoping for almost 1,200 boats, and that will set the new record if they can do that, which is currently held by Malaysia. So take that, Malaysia. And then the $50 is going to help pay for one of their huge fireworks displays later this year at the lake as well. So the folks from the Guinness Book of World Records is going to be on site. They're going to be doing whatever documentation they have. And my guess is that if you're actually in this, you probably get some certificate or something that you were part of a world record.
Okay, question.
Yes.
For the room. If you're going to break a Guinness Book of World Records record, how do you officially do it other than having somebody from the organization there? Like, obviously, if this had been planned or kind of impromptu and there was no official there, it would still be a world record, but how would they confirm it?
It wouldn't be an official world record.
It's not from the beer company.
But yep. But if it's one of those dumb ones, like it's somebody who stood on their head for, 14 hours or something and broke the world standing on your head record, couldn't you just video that and show that as proof, or do you have to have an official there?
I think you have
there?
To have somebody there to document it, unless it's something that's documented otherwise, through some other...
But that's what I mean. You would still be documenting it.
I don't know. Deep fake videos, man. You can...
That's true.
You can fake a lot of stuff.
Nowadays.
You can now.
Up until the last couple of years, you couldn't really do that stuff. That cheapens the book to me. Because there's probably people out there breaking records, but they're not in the book.
Yeah, somebody can juggle for the longest amount of time. And
there's a website. Guinness has their own website, how to set or break a world record at guinnessworldrecords.com. And it is an 8-step process on how to do it. First, check their database, see if what the record is, I guess. Then choose a world record to attempt. You have to apply to them and get their guidelines.
See, some of this is cool because it makes it legit, but some of it's like,
where's the spontaneity?
Yeah, because that's part of the fun of it. These used to be bar bets. That's how the whole thing started.
Right. Guinness.
It's
actually the Guinness Beer Company, yeah.
Understand the requirements and evidence needed for the attempt. Number 5, practice.
Oh, thank you for telling us to practice.
6, carry out your official world record attempt. 7, submit your evidence, cover letter, and all required documents. So they don't have to be there necessarily.
Okay, well, that's fair. Okay. I like that.
All right.
And then 8, the moment of truth. If you're successful, you will be in their records.
See, my hope is that next year I'm going to be part of a world record attempt as well. You've heard of the world's longest baseball game?
No.
That every couple of years or so, and I'm hoping to get invited to do this. It's out at GCS Stadium. Usually over the Memorial Day weekend, and it's a big fundraiser for one of the children's hospitals. And what happens is you got these two huge teams, and the stadium is rented, and all Memorial Day weekend long, it is the, world's longest baseball game. They have the game, they have the record now, and you just keep playing, and there are hundreds of innings, and, you play in shifts. You can't leave the ballpark facilities, otherwise you're disqualified, so you'll play for a shift. Go sleep for a while, eat something, come back, play some more innings. But you can't go home and rest up and come back.
It's not a real baseball game.
Well, no. I mean, when you've got 200 or 500 innings, no, it's not a real
one. Well, but that's pushing it. That's pushing it to me because
it's continuous baseball.
Because you
game.
Can't
you have
get, once
a bigger
out,
roster than an official roster, too, right?
Well, yeah,
you could have hundreds of people on your team.
Yeah, but it's not a major league baseball game. It's just the world's longest baseball game.
So, do you have to beat the record every year?
Yeah,
like, do they go
one
more?
It's
one
more inning.
Play another inning. Yeah.
How many innings is up to?
Oh, I don't know. It's
many.
Yeah, many. I mean, guys are like, hey, how'd you do in the game? Yeah, I was like 24 for 46 at the plate or something like that. And every guy that I know who's been involved in it, they all say they are freaking exhausted. And they've learned your first at bat and you get a hit, don't sprint to second base. You're going to need that energy 48 hours from now because you're still there.
Is it even competitive? Like, do they care about who wins, no. or is it just about getting to the finish line?
It's about you're playing a competitive game. I mean, yes. I mean, you want.
Like, how do you have a pitcher? You have to have hundreds of pitchers.
Yeah, or you know, like, for instance, in some of the games, underhand. They'll allow a pitcher to come back. So
We're treading in dangerous territory because you're it's breaking rules.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a rule in any baseball game.
No, like, you're out, you're out.
A lot of amateur leagues will let the starting pitcher come back.
To finish the game?
Really?
To finish the game. Yeah, they'll let them do it. Now, once the other pitchers are out, they'll come back. But in this case, I don't know. I think pitchers can come back because, I mean, getting in, if you're going to have hundreds of innings in a game, you know, who cares if the pitcher comes back?
Are you only competing with yourself in this? Like, is there any something in Myanmar who tries to break this record
be.
Every year?
Yeah, because
or you just beat your own record.
And
every year?
What if you're this? A follow up to Ryan's question: what if the game is not tied and you need another inning to break the record, and you don't? The home team doesn't need to bat. Because it's 12-7 or something.
Well, it's
like
actually
that.
The record is actually timed.
Oh,
so but there are innings and but the it's
oh,
a
it's
time.
Just time.
Yeah,
it's not innings.
Yeah, so it's the amount of time that they're going.
Are baseball rules the same across the world as they are in the United States?
No.
Are they drastically different?
Not drastically different, but they're.
It's called cricket in England.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
But no, I mean, there are differences. There are some differences. Now, when you look at like Major League Baseball and Japan's, you know, and Korea's, those are very, very similar.
Yeah,
but no,
they're like,
there's not one steady.
I went to a baseball game in Japan and it was like a college football game.
Yeah.
It's 4 hours long.
And is the crowd loud?
Yeah, because Japan's a small island, and so you have people from both teams coming to the same stadium to see the game. And they have each team has their own rally song, and they do things between it. It was really fun. I'm glad I did it, but it was long.
I'm playing in Fairview Heights tonight. That's not quite as cool.
I'll come and cheer.
Yeah, Longacre Park. I'll be there.
Okay, I'll see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.